Just to remind members that there is a correspondence that has been sent to us. For our information, there is a report by our report as the Portfolio Committee on Transport on the public hearings on the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill, Bill number 44 of 2018. That information is there for us to remind ourselves how far we come concerning this bill. And then we have a set of minutes of the 23rd and the 24th, also sent to us. And then we have the agenda for today, which has three items. That is, the first item, starting from now to 11 o'clock, will be deliberations on the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill from 9 to 11. And then from 1 minute past 11, we'll deliberate on the economy regulations of transport, Bill number 1 of 2020. That will be from 1 minute past 11 to 12:45. And we'll then spend the 45 minutes dealing with consideration and adoption of the minutes of the 17th, the 19th, the 23rd and 24th. I hope members have read their minutes. Otherwise, I may plead with Valerie that she should not disorganize us when we're dealing with minutes, so that we can finish the minutes today. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's forge ahead and call upon our only advocate in our officials of this portfolio committee, Advocate Alma Nell, who is ready and capable of taking us forward on the Civil Aviation Bill. I know we ended up on clause 23, advocate, and let me allow you. I can see you are ready. I can see the screen. I can read the screen, and let me allow you to take us through.
Morning, Chairperson, morning, members. Today we carry on from clause 24, which is an amendment.
That's a bit, advocate, I may get some criticism. Let me welcome all officials of the department who are with us today and our guests. You are warmly welcome. Thank you, advocate. You can carry on.
Sure thing, Chair. We are looking at the amendment or the substitution of Section 99 from the Principal Act. Section 99 deals with limitation of liability, so this is what it looked like. Just to show that one there to members. The new proposed Section 99 has the following change. It will read, no person, including the state, is liable in respect of anything done or omitted in good faith in the exercise of a power or the performance of a duty in terms of or by virtue of this act or in respect of anything that may result therefrom. So, Chair, the change is the act had reference to employee of the Civil Aviation Authority. So the new proposal is more all-encompassing. So it does include those employees by reference to including the state. Chair, then if members are okay with that substitution, we will be able to move on to the next clause.
If members are okay, let me see the okay from members or any other issue.
Chairperson, if I may.
Yes, Honorable Independent.
Chairperson, I've got no problem. I continue with that. That submission is fine, Chairperson. We can continue.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Anybody who seconds? Okay. Anybody who has a problem or any issue to raise? What am I doing?
Thank you, Chairperson. I second Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Boramadwa, Honorable Miriam Ramadwa. Can we move advocate?
Yes, Chair. Our next clause 25, is proposing the deletion of the following subparagraphs in section 103, M, N, and O. So just to show members what they are proposing we remove, it's in section 103, National Civil Aviation Security Responsibilities of Department. They are proposing that we delete these three sub-clauses. So the bill seeks to then remove M, the development of effective strategies to secure compliance with aviation security standards, N, the assessment of security-related decisions taken by industry at all levels for the impact on aviation security, and O, the conducting of regular and timely assessment of international security development. So, Chair, as well as this amendment, if members agree to the amendment of M, N, and O, the drafters will also just have to include here an insertion of and after design here in K, so that there is a full stop, so that it just reads, but I'm sure they will pick up on that. So, Chairperson, the proposal is the removal of M, N, and O in 103, so I'm just going to leave these three on the screen for members to consider, Chair.
Thank you very much, Boramadwa. McD.
Chairperson, good morning. Good morning, colleagues. Again, Chairperson, I'm a bit worried, Chairperson. I don't think that we need to remove those three items, Chairperson. Specifically, in the conducting of a regular and timely assessment of international security developments, Chairperson, we are a signatory to the ICAO. In South Africa, and we also have a lot of potential threats to South African citizens regarding aviation. It relies heavily on international standards, especially related to terrorism and those type of things. As an example, Chairperson, one of the regulations that happened after the 9/11 tragedy in the United States was that there was a stipulation on the security on airports and the amount of liquids being able to carry on the airplane, the scissors, etc., and also the strengthening of cockpit doors to stop intruders to get into a cockpit. There was also, if you look at the German Wings plane that flew into the mountain, where the pilot committed suicide, has now brought other parts in the ICAO, which will allow under certain pin codes for somebody to get into the cockpit. Chairperson, we need to comply to international standards. We can't be a signatory to something and then want to dilute our approach. I could stay Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, McVie. Advocate. You want to say something on that one?
Chair, I think the department can just clarify why they are proposing the deletion and maybe address whether it's covered either under SACARS Act or whether it's covered or will be covered under the regulations. Chair, I think they can just provide some clarity there.
Before they provide clarity, let me get the Honourable May.
Sorry, sir, it was a fault. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zucudo.
Thanks, Chairperson. Zucudo is responsible for the third bill. Masombo and Livers will be continuing with yourself in this regard. Can I proceed?
Yes, Dr. Masombo will proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson. Clause 25, amend section 103 of the Act, remove the provision conferring certain powers relating to aviation security which have already been bestowed to the Civil Aviation Authority by virtue of section 73 of the Act. So those powers are already covered under section 73 of the very same Civil Aviation Act. The segregation of powers relating to aviation security was highlighted during International Civil Aviation Organization security audit conducted to verify the aviation security functions of the Republic. So those sections, Chairperson, are already covered under section 73 of the same. Thank you.
Maybe are you covered?
Chairperson, I didn't hear everything on my connection dropped down, Chairperson. I don't know, Chairperson. I'm taking this under advisement, Chairperson. I'm not 100%. Chairperson, why do you specifically have to remove it from that part? Is more not better than less, Chairperson? I don't know. I'm not convinced, but I will wait for guidance, Chair.
No, they are saying they are covered under section what, advocate?
Under section 73 of the same Act, Chairperson.
Do you get that, maybe? Okay.
Okay, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Let's get Honorable Manu.
Good morning, Chair, again. I was going to request what Advocate Nell has just done so that we can read the section that he said is covering it. Maybe that's where Honorable McDonald can satisfy himself, because the responses that it's already covered is a repetition. Maybe that's what we should verify, Chair. That was my input. Thank you.
Chairperson,
I've now read this piece, Chairperson, and I'm in agreement we are covered in that piece. Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, apologies for interrupting.
Can we now move? Thank you very much.
Chairperson, so just for purpose of that showing out, there are several references in Section 73 to the safety and security standards, and this one does go into far greater detail. And if we go just to our bill, if we have a look here, just to double check on the amendments, so, Chair, in the bill there was some amendments proposed to Section 73, but members will see here the references to safety and security is retained, and the department has added the additional requirements of the environmental protection requirements that they need in there as well. So, Chairman, I'm just going to get back to my spot. So our next one is clause 26, Chairperson. It amends section 104 of the Principal Act. Just want to get to 104. 104 deals with the National Aviation Security Committee. So the proposed amendment suggested here is for paragraphs A and B. Just to show members, there is A and B. So the new change will be the Director General of the Department, with the addition of or any person designated by him or her. So just to show members, A just referred to the Director General of the Department. And then for B, they are proposing that we substitute reference there of the Minister to change it to the Director General of the Department. So an official responsible for National Air Transport Facilitation designated by the Director General of the Department, not the Minister. Chairman, there's a further proposed substitution for G and H. This will be consequential because the reference to the Director of Civil Aviation has been changed to Commissioner. And they are taking out this reference in G of the Minister to refer to the Department. So G used to read a person designated by the Director after consultation with the Minister. These are all linked to the composition of the National Aviation Security Committee. Then just a change to H, an official designated by the Director General from an organization responsible for state security. Again, just as we did with the reference to the Minister for the Department of Minerals and Energy, they're proposing the change to take out the old department references and just rather replace it with responsible for state security and an N responsible for international relations because of the changes that we do sometimes see in the department. So Chair, that's the change there to G and H, and to N it's similar to the department references there. Chair, they are proposing a deletion in subsection 1 of paragraph J. Paragraph J used to read, an official designated by the Director General South African Secret Service. That is most likely because it all falls under state security as well there, Chair. Then on E, they are proposing a substitution for subsection 4. Just to show members what subsection 4 used to look like. Subsection 4 used to read, in the process of the establishment and development of the policies as contemplated in section 103, where any matter which may affect any stakeholder consults with the relevant stakeholder or stakeholders in the aviation industry. So the proposed change is just the correction of adding the National Aviation Security Committee there, Chair. Then they are proposing a new additional subclause 5, a person designated by the Director General in terms of subsection 1A must be an employee of the department and must possess the necessary expertise to chair the National Aviation Security Committee. So Chair, again, 1A is the Director General of the department or any designated person designated by him or her. Shall also be the chairperson of the committee. So Chair, that is the composition of the National Aviation Security Committee. I'm going to try and leave it on the screen just a little bit for members before I stop share to make my notes, Chair.
I normally take the first hand that I see, and I can see the hand of Honorable Mani.
Chair, thank you. That is correct. Although, to be honest, I'd forgotten to drop it, but I wanted to raise my hand. Chair, advocate, if you may, is that 25-1? Somebody who's appointed by the DG. I'm sorry, advocate, just go back there. Still trying to open my separate one. Yes, that's the...
I thought you had gone up to the mountain, and seemingly your mountain is those mountains of Trovec that we know have problems. The man-made one, Honorable Mandy. So we've lost you in the process. Jambas. We will take him when he comes back. Honorable Magdi.
Chairperson, thank you. I think if I can also interject here, Chairperson, I think it's what Honorable Monty was going to say was about the appointment of any suitable person by the director. It means, I would like to go to that, if now I can just go back to that section, Chairperson. I just want some more clarity, maybe from the department, on that any person, Chairperson.
Your clarity is on any person, not the appointment by the director, not the minister.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Advocate Masumbuga.
Thank you, Chairperson. If you look at clause 26, that amend section 104A. There we are saying the director general of the department or any person designated by him or her, who shall also be the chairperson of the committee. This is similar to when we are putting a departmental representative in any board. The director general will designate an official of the department to sit in that board if he is not going to personally sit. That is the intention. And the whole section amendment, chairperson, is aligning the act with the latest development by making appropriate current references to departments, because the name of the department changes now and then, and we are avoiding to literally spell them out, because once they change they necessitate the amendment of the act. Therefore, we better say the department responsible for transport purposes rather than say the Department of Transport, because if the title changes, then it becomes a problem for the act. Thank you.
Thank you very much. McDean, are you on that?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Manu, are you there with us?
Yes, Chair. I have to switch a gadget. Kwakwa is a challenge for me. However, my concern was it being a security committee. The person doesn't seem that the DG, I assume the DG would have gone through a security clearance for him or her to be appointed in the first place. However, it doesn't seem like this person is going to go through a similar process of security clearance. That was the point I was raising, Chairperson. I'm not sure if it is covered or it can be covered somewhere else. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Mazumbu.
Chairperson, officials of the department, especially senior level, are required in terms of the Public Service Act to undergo security clearances. So we do have security clearances in the when the DG appoints you or designates you, obviously for you to be employed, you are already having that security clearance. Thank you.
Okay. At the same level as the DG advocate?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. In the other matter on this, honorable members, as honorable Mangungu lowers his hand.
With a fresh rain hands.
Okay, sure. Honorable
Mangungu. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I hear advocate, but that's an assumption of somebody who's in the department who knows that. It is not obvious, Chair. It doesn't say that the DG will appoint a senior manager. It says any person. And nowhere does it say that person would have a security clearance. So having heard advocate, I think we need to be very clear. That has to be a consideration. Whoever the DG decides to appoint, no issue. But that person must have. It doesn't say there, or it's not given that the person would have been coming from senior management.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chair.
So your proposal is that that sentence should be enriched?
That is correct, Chair. Having listened to Advocate Masombuka, I'm even more convinced that it has to be enriched to protect the integrity of the Security Committee, to the effect that that person must also be in possession of a similar clearance as that of the DG. Thank you, Chair.
Members, any member who supports the proposal by Honorable Mangi?
Chair, good morning.
Good morning.
I do second the proposal by Honorable Mangi. Thank you.
Your voice is like Tandy Will Pondo's voice. Thank you very much.
I can raise it, Chair, if you want me to do so.
No, I was saying it seems like Tandy Wimpondo's voice. Speaking. But thank you. I've heard you supporting. Thank you very much. Anybody who has a problem with this? Thank you very much. Advocate Nell?
Chair, I think because the new subclause 5 links with that appointment, the drafters can possibly just look here to expand the necessary expertise that is stated here and possibly consider the request there to add the, as well as necessary security clearance. Because if, from my experience having been in the SMS, not all SMS members carry the same level of security clearance, Chair. So, because not all of them, for example, will be working with cabinet memos that have top secret clearance. So, Chair, it might just be the necessary expertise and security clearance that the drafters can just add in here that might assist with that clause, Chair. Chair, then going to the next clause is clause 27, where it is an amendment to section 108 of the Act. 108 is designation of staff of the National Aviation Security Committee by the director. Used to read that the director shall designate personnel in the Civil Aviation Authority to assist the National Aviation Security Committee in its work. So this is the secretarial administrative assistance, Chair. Let me just slip of the mouse here, close my documents. Let me just get them all quickly checked.
I thought this is Tuesday, Advocate, it's not Monday.
Yeah, my fingers are just too quick for the laptop. I think that's the problem, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Check. Let's get my sizing up for members. So the new clause, chairperson will read designation of staff is removed there, so it's designation of secretariat of National Aviation Security Committee. Then Chair, this is the consequential amendment after the heading has been amended, just to take out the reference of director and substitute it for commissioner. The rest of that clause really is the same. It's just the heading and reference to director that's changed there, Chair.
You want me to test or still continue?
And no, Chair, you can get members' views on this proposal, Chair.
Another one, Ms. Donald.
Chairperson, I'm okay with that, Chairperson. I've got no problem.
Thank you very much. Anyone who supports that we should carry on?
I do support, Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much. Any member who has an issue fundamentally on this matter? Going once, twice, thank you very much. Advocate Almanel.
Chair, then our next clause is clause 28. It wants to amend section 110. So this will be an amendment of the heading again, as well as amendments to subsection 1. So Chair, just to show members what 110 looked like. 110's heading was determinations by minister, and subsection 1, the minister must, in consultation with civil aviation authority and with the concurrence of the person in charge of a designated airport, approve the appointment of the person responsible for the execution of the security program of such designated airport. So Chairperson, the proposed amendment there is to the heading, appointment of person for execution of aerodrome. This is where this old, this A-list reference aerodrome must be changed to aerodrome. That N must be changed to an M there, Chair. So it's appointment of person for execution of aerodrome security program. And then subclause 1 should change, the commissioner must, in consultation with the person in charge of a designated aerodrome, approve the appointment of the person responsible for the execution of the security program of such designated aerodrome. So Chair, the proposed amendment here takes out the reference of the minister. And it takes out the reference of the consultation with civil aviation authority with concurrence. So Chair, that's four members there to consider.
Thank you, Advocate.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, can I just get some clarity on that specific section of why are we removing in consultation with this, because that is the specific person that will be appointed on another airport, for an example, that is designated to work with the security of that airport. Can I just get some clarity maybe from the department on why are we removing the in consultation with the South African Civil, because it seems like now somebody else can have, the department's taking over the function of who's being appointed on a private airport. I'm a bit confused there, Chief of the Trust. Maybe if I can just get some clarity. Thank you, Chief.
Advocate Masumbu.
Thank you, Chairperson. The commissioner, remember, is representing the Civil Aviation Authority. Therefore, he cannot necessarily consult himself by herself. Here, the commissioner must, in consultation with a person in charge of a designated aerodrome. I think the the wording is very clear, Chairperson. If a person can remember that the commissioner is a senior employee of the authority, civil aviation authority.
Thank you, Advocate Masombuka. Is that clear, Honorable McDonald?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm clear. Thank you very much. As I lower my hand.
Thank you very much. In a second, that Atu must move. I can see Honorable Hansen is here with us. Thank you very much. Welcome, Honorable Member, Father Manu.
I move to support the proposals, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for your kindness and commitment. Advocate Almanel.
Chairperson, then our, just 2 points to members here on the A list. So obviously then the aerodrome correction will stand, so that reference there is corrected. So that will be the only additional amendment to clause 28. Then I can move on here to the next amendment, Chair. The next one is on an amendment of section 111, the heading, subsection 1, and an amendment to subsection 2. So just to show members what the old section 111 looked like, the heading was aviation participants required to have national aviation security program. The new proposed heading, aviation participants required to have aviation security program. So it's just this reference here to national is removed. Then for subsection 1, the new proposal is the following aviation participants are required to develop and implement an aviation security program. So they have to develop and implement it. The have is being removed there. Subsection 1 used to read, following aviation participants are required to have a national aviation security program. Okay, then the next amendment proposed there is to subsection 2, the substitution of the old subsection. So old subsection 2 read, any aviation participant who fails to comply with subsection 1 or fails to comply with the National Aviation Security Program instituted in terms of subsection 1 is guilty of an offence and on conviction liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years or to both such a fine and imprisonment. The new clause, any aviation participant who fails to comply with subsection 1 or fails to comply with the aviation security program instituted in terms of subsection 1 is guilty of an offence and on conviction liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years or to both such fine and imprisonment. To share, that is the new changes or the changes to section 111 for members.
Thank you, Advocate, for coming back. Members, let me see if we have happiness here. Ubaba Ulisa, Papa Manu. Unmute yourself, sir.
As this, with corporate business is a challenge. Happiness, Chair. Sorry for that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, Honorable indeed. Thank you. Any seconder?
second chairperson, Prasoon Singh. Good morning. Good morning, colleagues. My apology for joining late, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chris Wunsinger. This room was not nice without you. Thank you very much that you are here. Thank you. Any member who has an issue, going once, twice. Thank you, Advocate Alma Nell.
Okay, then our next clause is clause 30. It deals with an amendment of section 112 of the Act. Section 112 dealt with the offences. So the amendment proposed here is to subsection B. Contravenes or fails to comply with any provision of the National Aviation Security Program approved by the Minister and whereof the contents have been brought to his or her notice, is guilty of an offence and shall be liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years or both such fine and imprisonment. So Chair, here the reference changes from a safety plan to the National Aviation Security Program, slightly different to the previous clause, and the reference to the fine amount has been removed because most of our fines are determined then by the courts. Chair, just to show the old section 112, fails to comply with provision of a safety plan approved by the minister, and then the 50,000 there. So Chair, above and beyond that, they have to have a security, the security program or security plan. I just want to go up to our previous one. They each have to develop and implement an aviation security program for Section 111. Section 112 then also requires them to comply with the National Aviation Security Program. So Chair, I hope that assists to clarify the difference in these two to members, but I'm sure the department can also assist further there, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate. And let me see any member who wants to express happiness or any other issue.
Chair, thank you. I support the proposed amendment.
Thank you very much, Chambers.
Second is Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Baba McDonald. Any member with an issue? Going once, twice. Thank you very much, Advocate Alma Nell.
Thank you, Chair. I just enlarged the document a little bit because our next reference to the A list before members is only quite a way away, so this will hopefully assist us all with the reading. Chair, our next clause is clause 31. Clause 31 seeks to amend the heading of Chapter 7. So Chair, here is the heading of Chapter 7 on the Principal Act, used to read monitoring and enforcement of regulatory compliance by civil aviation authority and issuing of compliance notices. Proposed amendment there is monitoring and enforcement of regulatory compliance by civil aviation authority. So it removes and issuing of compliance notices. Chair, I'm just going to do clause 32 as well. Then members can consider both 31 and 32 at the same time. The amendment to section 113 of the Principal Act will be subsection 1A. So subsection 1A of 113. One, in order to monitor and enforce compliance with this Act and subject to conditions of his or her appointment, a person referred to in section 88.1 may at any reasonable time and without prior notice, without a warrant, enter into any aircraft, base or premises. So here, Chair, it just takes out any reasonable time. So this will now change to, in order to monitor and enforce compliance with this Act and subject to conditions of his or her appointment, the person referred to in Section 88(1) may at any time without prior notice, without a warrant. And then they'll be able to enter. She obviously the reference to the warrants above. I just want to take members to Section 88(1) because I believe the reasonable time will be in 88. There we go. She 88(1). So this will allow the inspectors and authorized persons. The designation thereof in 88(1). Chair, they are then authorized and designated again to perform their powers as inspectors. So Chair, the reasonable time is normally covered in the just going to get the cross-reference now here, Chair. It is in the search and seizure documents. But Chair, as soon as they get the warrant and the order from the court, they are allowed to enter the premises for their inspections. But the department can just clarify here if there's any concerns about the removal of reasonable time. Because as soon as they get the warrants, then they have to go and issue. But this is also without a warrant that they can go and enter the premises, Chair. So, Chair, for members, Clause 31, the amendment to the heading, and Clause 32, the removal of reference to reasonable time.
Thank you, Advocate. Honorable McDean.
Awesome, thank you. Just, I don't know.
We want to hear your voice.
Apologies, Chairperson. Apologies. The technology is not well today. Chairperson, I don't have any issues with it. I do have an issue with the without a warrant, Chairperson. Under the South African Constitution, in any, when the police come to your house, they can't just search your house without a warrant. They can't just attach documents without a warrant. And I think the removal without a warrant, saying the stipulation without a warrant is unconstitutional, Chair, and I'm not 100% sure, Chair. So if I can get proper clarity on that, I might change my mind, but at this moment, I think without a warrant is overstretching. Thank you, Chair.
Overstretching without a warrant. Honorable Manu.
Mine was going to seek clarity as to, by the look of things, both those proposed removals or deletions don't seem to have any material effect, but I would have loved to know what is the reason from the department, but generally they don't look harmful at all. Maybe raise the question, what is reasonable, what is not reasonable. Although I was not to comment on what my colleague has just said, I'm of the view that it has always been like that without a warrant in the principal act. I'm assuming if an inspector just got information and a plane is about to take off and they need to go and stop the plane for security reasons, or rather safety reasons, safety and security, it will be impossible for that inspector to go and get a warrant by that time. And I think those who want to abuse the airspace and other things might use that loophole, so they know that this leads to the world. That is just my view on what my colleague has said. But my fundamental one is the reason, what is the meaning, what is the impact or the reason why we are removing. But generally it looks harmless in my view, but that's to clear our minds. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chambers. Ubaba, who advocate Obama Sumbu, as to was the advocate.
Thanks, Chairperson. We have deemed it not necessary to keep the way the reasonable, because the action that must be taken by the inspector must be imminent, because the if he's not acting instantly, then the purpose of searching might be defeated. Like it has just now explained that it will be time consuming to go and apply for a warrant and come to search a plane that is landing all of a sudden. And if we don't put this provision in, obviously the wrongdoers or the offenders will capitalize on the fact that it is just going to be impossible for the inspector to have a warrant when we are landing. When he comes with that particular warrant, the crime shall have been long committed. Thank you.
I hope that convinces us, Honorable Donald.
Chairperson, I've got no problem with the inspection without a warrant, but the seizure, it states seizure of documents on the previous part there, that without a warrant, Chairperson. Seizure of documents and related information does not fall under the inspection. That was my concern. But it's fine, because it said that any person who control over the custody of any book, document or thing, Chairperson, without a warrant, just to come and take people's documents, I'm worried, Chairperson. But yeah, I also come to the majority must rule for Chairperson.
Obaba was
the Thank you, Chair. I will the majority, Honorable McBee, and ask that Chair. I mean, we are dealing with a totally different environment. It's not like somebody just coming to a house. Aviation, as we have already alluded earlier, is a very serious thing. And I would plead with you that we leave it as it is. It sounds to me very reasonable to protect our airspace and us. But going back to the reasonable deletion, I accept the explanation by Advocate Masombuga, and I move for the acceptance of those two deletions, removal of reasonable and the change of the heading as proposed. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I remove my objection, and I agree with what Honorable Manchu said in light of the e-submissions and to keep the airspace in South Africa safer. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Thank you very much, Mr. Frank Jenkins. You may feel that I have not recognized you. Let me recognize
you. Chairperson, good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning. I wanted to comment on Mr. McDonald on the issue of the warrant and the right to privacy. If he's satisfied, sir, that's all good. I'll just, when we deal with, I think maybe to allay his concern or to understand it better, when we're dealing with a licensed premises, which is sort of under a license, your right to privacy as operating within that space has already been eroded. For instance, the bank, financial institutions and such. So there, the issue of a warrant and a search.
prohibition of certain activities. The restrictions relating to the time period within which a prohibition may be issued is impractical because a prohibition may be as long as the event with which cause it exists. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much. Jambas.
Chair, I didn't, well, I had advocate now. My original question was going to be, does it mean then that prohibition can be limitless? Now, advocate is saying as long as it requires. I don't know what that means. Maybe an example could help, you know. I thought 24 hours I was going with, but maybe some limit of time. Does it mean it can be a year? Does it mean it can be 2 years? Is there no ceiling of this particular prohibition? Maybe that is the question that I must ask directly. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Masombuga.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can I defer to Libas to give an example and give the practical perspective of it?
We are now on level one. Is Libas back home, advocate?
Not yet, Chair. He's still packing.
Okay, let me leave it at that. Mdungwa lapho eCanada. Good morning, if it's morning. What's good, Zaba?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The prohibition will last as long as what caused the prohibition has not been rectified. Honorable Mangu, it's like if a driver of a commercial vehicle, the PDP has expired but still has a valid license, so will be prohibited from driving the commercial vehicle as long as it does not have a new PDP. So that is the case. It was the prohibition of a flight will be because something which will cause the flight to fly unsafely or to contravene security exists. So as long as that has not been resolved, the flight will still be prohibited from flying. Thank you.
Thank you, Libas. Honorable McDonald.
Chief, thank you. I was going to help Honorable Martin.
Yeah,
so
it's I'm
fine. It's correct, Jefferson, because we can't allow a plane to be unable to be, and then within 24 hours, the plane full because of the time limit, and then we are faced with an aircraft accident later that day, Jefferson. So I'm in agreement with them in the Jefferson.
Anyone, as you lower your hand, honorable member, McDonald, thank you very much. Anybody who has an issue, going once, twice, advocate?
I've got an issue. Labor didn't answer that morning, either. But other than that, I support the amendment.
We'll go back to leave us. I know it's still very dark there, and we are stealing in sleeping time, but it's okay. Advocate Almanel.
Chair, the answer lies in the Principal Act 116 subsection 2, because it does say here that it may be withdrawn when the authorized officer is satisfied that the cause for such prohibition has ceased to exist. So if you look at it, actually the old 2 and 3 was in a sense contradictory to each other, because if that, if two lasted longer than 24 hours, then you wouldn't actually be able to implement subsection C. But Chair, then just going to our next clause, is clause 55. It's the amendment of section 118. 118 deals with appeal against decisions of authorized officers, authorized persons, and inspectors. So, Chair, the amendment is to the heading first, appeal against decisions of authorized officers. Then, Chair, deletion in subsection 1 of paragraph A and B is proposed. So, A and B, just to show members there, well, these two are proposed to be deleted. Then moving on here, there is a substitution for subparagraph C, 1C. So they remove cancel. So it was, it would be a decision to suspend or endorse such persons or entities registration, license, certificate. So members, that is what C used to look like, right there. Then there is also a proposed deletion of D. D read, issue a compliance notice or refusal to issue compliance certificates in terms of section 114.1 and 2. Then, Chair, there is a substitution proposed of subsections 2, 3, 4, and 5 with the following. So, Chair, this is the consequential amendments of director to commissioner. And then there's an amendment here where it used to be 3 days. They are proposing that the commissioner must, within 14 days of receiving such appeal in writing, confirm, vary or set aside the decision of the authorized officer, authorized person or inspector. Then again, we have commissioner here in 4, and then in subsection 3 here, they are proposing a move away from 5 days to 30 days, may appeal against such decision within 30 days of receipt of the reasons referred to in subsection, well, that will now be 4, to an appeal committee contemplated under section 122. And then, Chair, there's also a proposed substitution in subsection 6. It's the consequential amendment of director to commissioner. And then there's a further substitution of section 7 and 8, the consequential amendment there, Chair, of director to commissioner, and then just correction of the new subsection numbering, and then a deletion of subsection 9, just to show members then what 9 used to look like. Subsection 9 used to read, an appeal lodged in terms of the section does not suspend the decision of the authorized officer, authorized person, or inspector. Chairperson, that is quite a few amendments and changes there. I think the biggest one is the time frames that we really do see, the deletion of subsection 9. Most of the rest are consequential amendments, but Chair, this is now for members to just give their input on whether they are happy with these, Chair, and if you need any clarity, the department can surely provide that for members as well, Chair. Clause 35.
Ubaba Uwunsinga, thank you, Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think it's fine. The changes are caused by, is triggered by structural change. Interesting that the time limits from 3 to 14 and from 5 to 30. When we were youngsters, they told us with computers everything will be quicker and faster, but now it seems to be going contrary to what we were told, but such is life. It's definitely more complex and a lot more complicated, but I don't have a problem, Chairperson. I propose that we accept and move on.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Any seconder?
Seconded, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any issue, any contra view? Thank you very much. Advocate Alma Nell, let's move.
Chair, clause 36 will amend section 119. Section 119 is the appeal against refusal, cancellation, endorsement of medical certificates or declaration of unfitness. So Chair, again, there's quite a few amendments here. So there is the deletion of the word or at the end of subparagraph Roman number 3 in 1A. So this or here is deleted. Then, Chair, the substitution, the or goes to after 4 because there's a new 5. So this or moves here and we get after certificate and we get a new subclause 5. The new subclause is to read a decision by a designated medical officer to suspend or endorse his or her medical certificate. And then Chair, here is another addition here. May appeal against such decision or endorsement to the director, which is now changed to commissioner, in the prescribed manner. And on the payment of the fees prescribed. There's a deletion here by the minister because there's certain fees and manners that can be described prescribed by the commissioner as well. Then Chair, there's a substitution in subsections 4 and 5. So again, it's consequential to add commissioner, but there's also the addition of confirm or set aside the decision. Then Chair, for the new 5, any person affected by a decision referred to in subsection 4 may appeal against the decision to the appeal committee. And then there's a deletion of subsections 7 and 10. So Chair, just to show to members what 7 and 10 look like, 7 was the person appealing in terms of subsection 1 is entitled to legal representation. And 10 was an appeal lodged in terms of this section does not suspend the decision or endorsement in respect of which the appeal is lodged. Chair, that is the proposed amendments to section 119. We can just get members' views, queries, and input on this, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate. Akbar Eliade McDonald.
Thank you, Voorzitter. Ek het geen probleme met die wysiging op hierdie oomblik nie. Ek dink ons kan voortgaan. Dank u, Voorzitter.
Ek waardeer dit baie, Akbar Eliade. Enige iemand wat iets wil sê?
Ek ondersteun het ook, Voorzitter. I support it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Dangi Baya as Barakede Pitmei, Advocate Almanel kan ons voortgaan.
Yes, Chair, then clause 37 will amend section 120. So members will see quite a few of these amendments refer to the change again, the consequential change of director to commissioner. There's also a change here in subsection 1. Any person or entity aggrieved by a decision referred to in subsection 2A to E, taken by the commissioner. And then again, yeah, they can file their appeal within 30 days. So this one links up with the previous changes that have been made as well. Chair, then just here, there's a substitution here for paragraphs A and B. So the new A will be a decision taken in terms of section 1183, and B, a decision by the commissioner to refuse such person or entity's application for registration. So we are removing the exemption there, and as well as this one we are removing. Again, here the exemptions are being removed in those paragraphs. Chair, there's a proposed deletion of subsection 2, paragraph C and F, just to show members what C and F used to look like. A decision taken in regard to the designation or withdrawal of a designation as inspectors, authorized officers, or persons, and the, you're looking at C and F. F is the issuance, amendment, or withdrawal of technical standards for civil aviation in terms of section 162. So C and F is proposed for removal. There is a new subsection 3 proposed, again the consequential change here to commissioner, and then it's just because we've removed F, there has to be a reference there to E, Chair. So that's also a consequential amendment if this deletion is agreed to by members. So Chair, that is clause 37 for members.
Thank you, Advocate. Members, let me see Happiness or any other view.
Chairperson, if I may, I'm in support of the amendment, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable McDonald, Honourable Manu.
Well, he said this was unbefeel for second, but no say ek understand no, thank you for second.
Wow, like I said, we believe that he can just say the African's blood. Thank you, Akbar Elie, for the honors, Advocate Almanen, can you support Hannah's
please? Yes, Chair. Clause 38 is proposing a new section to the Principal Act. So we will now be including section 120A, effect of appeal on decisions. 120A, in order not to jeopardize aviation safety and security, an appeal lodged as contemplated in sections 118, 119 or 120 does not suspend such decision. So Chair, if members recall, in the previous sections we remove those references in each of those sections, and we see it here compiled in one encompassing section, Chair. So that is then for the members just to give an indication if they are okay with the new section there.
Honourable member, Honourable Chris Hansinger, thank you very much for support. Any seconder?
Seconded, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Advocate now.
Chair, then clause 39 deals with section 121. So we have a heading change here, submission of appeal. So we take out reference here to appeal committee. And then Chair, the section will now read, any person or entity who submits an appeal to the appeal committee must submit such appeal in accordance with the requirements prescribed and payment of the fees prescribed. The appeal may be brought by the person or entity concerned or a duly authorized employee or legal representative of the said person or entity. So Chair, that is clause 39. For members, this is what the old section 121 looked like. And that is what our new 121 will look like, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate, for coming back to me, Honourable Members, Honourable MacDonald.
Chair, I propose that we support that amendment, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any seconder to that? Honourable Ansinga, thank you very much. Advocate Nell, can we move?
I'm going to, again, just combine clause 40 and 41. 40 is a substitution of heading for chapter 8. That will now be the appeal committee and not committees. So that is clause 40, and then clause 41 is an amendment of section 122. Okay, there is 122. So obviously this amendment in the appeal of multiples to a single committee is going to require a consequential amendment. So here 122.1, the minister must establish an appeal committee composed of members appointed on a part-time basis to consider and decide appeals. Chair, it indicates here the chairperson's duration of appointment, the experience required, as well as five other members, or not less than five other members, for that appeals committee. Chair, there's a proposal here to change sections 5 and 6. So 5 here, we have a consequential amendment to the reference to the commissioner, and then we have an employee of Civil Aviation Authority, member of Civil Aviation Authority Board, or a member of any committee of the Civil Aviation Board may not be appointed as a member of the appeal committee. New 6, a person appointed under subsection 1 may not participate in the consideration of an appeal if he or she has any direct or indirect personal interest in the outcome of that appeal, or if he or she, his or her partner or immediate family has business or personal relationship with the appellant or the appeal's partner or the appellant's immediate family member. And there's a deletion of subsections 9, 11, and 12. And Chair, just to show members what 9, 11, and 12 looks like, or look like. 9 was, the minister may, if performance of an appeal committee is unsatisfactory, terminate the period of office of all members of that appeal committee. 11, minister must, subject to subsection 3, appoint a temporary replacement member for an appeal committee. If before or during an appeal it transpires that any member of the appeal committee, then it deals with their interests or illness and absence. And 12, National Treasury is responsible for the expenditure of an appeal committee. So, Chair, that is the clause 40 and 41 for members, 40 dealing with the heading, and then 41 dealing with section 122.
Thank you, Advocate, for coming back to me, Honourable Members, clause 40 and 41. Let me see any happiness. Honourable Ansinga, thank you very much. Honourable MacDonald.
Second, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. As you lower your hand, Honourable MacDonald. Can see Honourable Manu also support. Advocate Almanel. Let's forge ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Then clause 42 deals with section 123. Just to show members, there is section 123. There is an addition here, so we're not taking anything away from the Principal Act. We're adding any appointed member who holds any office or office in or under any government entity, administration or department, or in or under any institution or body that is wholly or partially... Yes, Chair?
Any appointed member who holds any post or office. You said any office or office.
Sorry, Chair. Any post or office. And Chair, or in or under any institution or body that is wholly or partially funded by the state is not, in respect of the duties performed by him or her as a member of the appeal committee, entitled to any payment. And Chair, again, this links to that previous discussion we had on the payments of state employees or employees under the public service, Chair.
When we get subsistence, thank you very much. I still remember.
Yes, Chair. We link it back to that one. If members are happy with that, we can go to clause 43.
Honourable members, let me see happiness on clause 42. Thank you, Honourable Manu. I can see you have joined now the new technique. There goes the Honourable Ansinga. Thank you very much. Happiness is here with us. Can we move, Advocate, to 43?
Yes, clause 43 is an amendment of section 124. Chair, just to show members, there is 124. It's on a quorum and meetings of the appeal committees. Obviously, all reference to committees will have to change to appeal committee. So, Chair, here, the new subsection 1, an appeal shall be considered by at least 3, but not more than 5 members selected from the list of appointed members. The chairperson of the appeal committee shall preside over the meetings of the appeal committee. If a person is unable to attend the meeting, he or she shall designate a member who has legal qualifications and experience as the chairperson of that meeting. Then a substitution of subsection 3. The rules and procedures for the appeal committee are determined by the minister. And then subsection 4, addition B. Call an employer of the department to clarify policy or legislative provision. So, Chair, that is clause 43, proposing those amendments to section 124.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Let me see happiness from the honourable members. Thank you, Honourable Manu, any seconder? Thank you very much, Honourable Hansinger, for seconding. Thank you very much to both of you. Advocate Almanet.
The Chair, clause 44 deals with the decisions of appeal committee. So, Chair, the new section 125 was just a one-sentence provision. So now we have a bit more meat. 125 will now read, the appeal committee may confirm, vary or set aside any decision against which an appeal has been lodged in terms of section 121. A decision of the majority of the members hearing an appeal is the decision of the appeal committee. And 3, the chairperson of the appeal committee shall have, in event of an equality of votes, a casting vote in addition to a deliberative vote. So, Chair, that is clause 44 for members' consideration.
Honourable members, there we are. Let me hear your views. Honourable Pitney.
I support the amendment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honourable members. Honourable McDonald.
I'm supporting Chairperson. I've got no problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Advocate Almanet, can we move?
Okay, Chair, our next clause 45 on section 126. General provisions regarding appeal committees, which is now appeal committee. So Chair, 126 will change subsection 2. A decision of the appeal committee contemplated in section 125 must be furnished to the commissioner and the appellant in writing within 21 days of the hearing of the appeal. And there is a substitution of subsection 9 proposed. The appellant is entitled to legal representation as an appeal before the appeal committee. So Chair, this is what section 126 looked like. It was quite long here. Went up to subclause 9 there. Chair, those are the proposed amendments to subsection 2 and 9 of section 126 in clause 45 for members.
Thank you, Advocate. Let me see opinions from the members. Any take, honorable members? Honorable Lawrence McDonald, thank you very much. I can see you are trying a new technique and come all right with time. Any seconder?
Seconder, Chairperson, with old technique.
New technique. Honorable Hansinger also support. New technique. Thank you very much, Honorable Advocate Almanel. Let's watch ahead.
Chair, clause 46, substitute the old section 128. So again, Chair, consequential amendments here with reference from committee to committee. And then administrative work of the appeal committee must be performed by employees of the department. Chair, since we have the secretarial duties amended in that way earlier, the old section 128 read as follows. So that is there for members to consider before we move on. That's clause 46.
Clause 46, thank you very much, Advocate Almanel. Let's see what members are saying. And to you, honorable members. Can I see happiness in your face, in your gesture, in your hands?
As clear as can be, I support it, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Akbar Eliade. On the feeling of the Honorable Hansina, thank you very much. Advocate,
why are you ignoring me? And my thumbs up.
No, your thumbs up is not visible. I would really want to welcome you. There you are. You're practicing properly now, I can see it. Thank you very much, honorable ma'am. You know, every time when you arrive, you normally do this thing. Advocate Almanel, let's forge ahead. Section clause 47, I guess. Correct?
Yes, Chair. Again, this is a combination. One amends the heading and the other amends the section underneath the heading. So, Chair, I'm proposing that we look at clause 47 and 48 together. So, clause 47 changes the chapter 9 heading. Chapter 9 heading used to be procedures for identifying and notifying of differences, issuance of exemptions by director and interception orders. So the new heading, procedures for identifying and notifying of differences, issuance of exemptions and interception orders. So we're just taking the reference to the director out here, Chair, because we do have the consequential amendments to change that to the commissioner, but there's no need here to specify that it will be done by the director. Then clause 48, chairperson, deals with section 130. Section 130 is issuance of exemptions that will obviously directable change to commissioner. So Chair, our legal team will absolutely make sure that that director is changed in the heading there. This is now changed in proposal to be issuance of exemptions by minister. So Chair, the minister does the regulations that issue the exemptions and the substitution of subsection 1 is the minister may on good cause show exempt partial or entirely any person or body from compliance with this act on the conditions as the minister may direct. Then substitution of subsection 2A, just before A, in exempting a person or body contemplated in subsection 1, the minister may have regard to. And then Chair, here is a substitution of B and C. B will now read any serious and imminent risk to aviation safety, security or environment, whereas that reference in 2B was any serious or imminent risk to air safety or security. So it's broadened now, Chair. Then the proposed amendment sub C, the existence of an alternative means of compliance. And then, Chair, there's the further reference here, reference change in subsections 3 and 4. The minister may not grant any exemption under subsection 1 for a period longer than 180 days, which period the minister may, on an application in writing, extend for a further period not exceeding 180 days. The procedure for the application for the issuance of exemption is as prescribed. Chair, those are the proposed amendments in clauses 47 to the heading and 48 to section 130.
Now, let me see what honourable members are going to say. Honourable members. Happiness, any other thing? Honorable Mandu?
I support the proposed amendment.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mapena, you have mastered the technique. Thank you very much for supporting. Can we now move? Advocate Almanel, let's watch ahead.
Chair, clause 49 will be amending subsection 2 of section 131. So Chair, the old section referred to any South African aircraft and the just to show that one there to members, any South African aircraft. And we are proposing that we change that to an appropriate authority of the Republic. That is the proposed amendment under clause 49, Chair.
Can you take about clause 49 and 50?
Yes, Chair. Clause 50 deals with amendment of section 132, subsection 3. So just to show members, subsection 3 of 132, that one right there. So the proposed amendment here is the transfer contemplated in subsection 1 shall not have effect in respect of other contracting states before the agreement between states in which it is embodied has been registered with the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, and that is full stop there, Chair. So they take out the reference here in pursuant to Article 83 of the convention or the existence and scope of agreements. So Chair, it's straightforward compliance here with by the member states again. So that's clauses 49 and 52.
Advocate, thank you very much for coming back to me, back to the honorable members. Let me hear your reaction on this one, honorable Chris Winsinger.
Chairperson, thank you. In principle, no problem. That Annexure 2 of the convention, which is used as an anchor reference of the appropriate authority of the Republic in Section 49, do we have it at hand so that we could just look at that quickly?
Advocate Almanel.
See, unfortunately, I don't have the annexure close by to cross-reference that now for members.
It shouldn't be a problem. It's just that the appropriate authority, without a direct reference as what is available in this reference. In that it refers to a specific place, Annexure 2. I think if we could just get that not on a pre-condition, simply to also get insight into that annexure. Do we have anybody that, Chairperson, through you, is there anybody that can help with this?
Advocate Masombuga, can you help? Can I check with me? Can I check with Mr. Mabasa through you, Chair? Yes, Advocate.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The annexure referred to, I just want to clear that I can quickly get that. Is there a reference to Annex 2 to the convention or the annexure to the act, which is the convention? I just want to clear that.
There you are. Advocate Nell?
Chair, it would be Annex 2 of the Convention as is proposed in the Amendment Bill, the reference there. Chair, it was the same in the Principal Act. So we just need to get the wording in Annex 2 of the Convention and how Annex 2 of the Convention explains this an appropriate authority of the Republic.
Leave us, are you following?
Yes. I do have a copy of Annex 2. So but I can't share the screen now. I can't share the screen because I don't have the right.
Chair, Mr. Mabasa has been given a right now to share the screen if he wants to go ahead.
Leave us.
Okay. Okay, screen.
Chairperson, I think if I may, Chairperson,
we are all different age and different background.
Is my screen visible now, Honorable Chair?
Your face is very visible. Technology is not a game of all of us. Can we accept that you will not be able to share your screen, at least for now. Or you want to try again? If you can't, we want to really get angry with you. We understand. There you are. Wow.
But then the reference to appropriate authority, Honorable Chair, so that you understand the context. When it comes to air marshalling, because others will leave it to the entity responsible for aviation security regulation in that state, and then others it will be the responsibility of the National Army, and then others may use another organization, they may delegate that to another organization to control the airspace in terms of security. So it's different setups with regard to different countries. That's why then we don't want to mention any particular entity, because then that might not be the entity responsible in the state. So that's why we say appropriate authority.
Honorable Ansinger?
The definitions where we are now might help us, because there is a specific definition which gives us insight into that. If we could just read that, thank you, Chair.
Appropriate authority. A, regarding flight over the high seas, the relevant authority of the state of registry. B, regarding the flight other than over the high seas, the relevant authority of the state having sovereignty over the territory being overflown.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's quite clear. Also, thank you, Mr. Mabaso. We are in place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Any support?
Support, Chairman. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mike. Advocate Alman Nell, let's watch ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Then we move to Clause 51. 51 has quite a few consequential amendments to Section 133. Just to flag 133 for members here. 133 deals with offences and penalties on board aircraft, and then here's all the other ones as well. So Chair, this one is amendments in F, G, H, and I, where there is reference to airport, heliport. The proposal is to substitute those for use of aerodrome. We see aerodrome here again, all the way through to I as a consequential amendment. Chair, then in paragraph J, we see the same. And then in the proposed amendment here, to add subsection 2, a person commits an offence if that person, and then it's this entire list here all the way from A down to subsection 3, subsection 4, and then up to a minimum period of 20 years without the option of a fine. So that is the proposed amendment here to Section 133. So we'll change FGHI, and we will change J2, and then underneath J we get the new additions, which is the new subsection 2 and 3, Chairperson. So that is quite an extensive list there for members to consider for approval, or if they need some clarity as per the previous discussions, whether or not it will be sufficient to use aerodrome and to substitute airport and a heliport, yeah, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate Nell, for coming back to me. We have discussed this issue of drones and helipad, airport and so forth. Lima, you end up.
Thanks, Honorable Chairman. I raised my hand on the previous section. It's just a technical issue. We don't necessarily have to go back to it. The International Civil Aviation Organization is a name of an organization given by the convention, and it's spelled with a Z. So I see in that it has been spelled with an S, so it becomes wrong. So it should be spelled with a Z. The organization should be spelled with a Z, as it's the name of an organization.
Okay, Limas. I can hear you are from Limpopo in South Africa, am I correct?
Yes.
I'll tell you one day, how do I get to understand the people of Limpopo when they call the organization. I know this one is very close. Honorable Manu?
Chair, we can prove that Libas is awake, he's not sleeping. Chair, I do support these recommendations, significant as they are, but I went through them. And I think the issue of the aerodrome, as you say, we went through it, and it does cover everything else that is being repeated. So I am in support of the proposed amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member Manu, Honorable Christian Singer, thank you for supporting. Advocate Almanes, let's forge ahead.
Chair, in our A list, we will also correct this spelling error here at C, where it should be by the addition. So that is already in the draft A list that members have before them. So I just wanted to point that out. Then, Chair, the issue that Levers highlighted, our legal team already has it on the cards for the new A list. So we will be sending the new A list out to members as soon as we've added the most recent one. Then section clause 52 will amend section 140.
Yes. If I may, Chair.
Yes.
Apologies, Chair. I got sidetracked by the sleeping or not sleeping. I wanted to check with the department. It's not anywhere proposed, but it has just come to my mind where I observed somebody who was arguing the air hostess about putting on a mask or not putting it on properly. And the question is, just for clarity, given what we find ourselves in terms of offenses, in terms of this act, I know interfering with a cabin crew member is an offense. Where is the issue of COVID direction, stroke, regulations taken care of when it comes to civil aviation matters? Chair, I just thought I'll raise it because we're dealing with offenses, yeah? And if I'm out of order, you are more than welcome to kick me to touch. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Advocate Mazumbu.
Jefferson, the issue of directions for disaster purposes are issued in terms of the Disaster Management Act. And we issue the civil aviation directions or the seaport directions or the roads or public transport directions through that particular Disaster Management Act. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Advocate Mabulisa Wakamanu.
Yes, no, Chair, thank you, Chair. Advocate like writing SMS. I appreciate you. But explain to somebody who is not a lawyer. When I am in a plane, I hear every announcement talks about port health regulation or authority and civil aviation. It would appear to me that the cabin from Captain whoever derived their authority from the Civil Aviation Act more than any other act, unless they are not aware. But however, Chair, maybe something we can discuss some other time. I just thought, because we are dealing with this act and we find ourselves in these situations, which we don't know in the future what will happen. But maybe because it's not here, let me not delay the meeting, but I advocate made it very too simple and too short, but maybe we can move on, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Manu. Advocate Almanel. Let's conclude with clause 52, please.
Chair, I think just to assist our member, when we do the Disaster Management Act regulations, there's also amendments that are gazetted along with those specific to air travel. And that is those ones that will then link up with the specific COVID compliance issues that are required for that specific level. So when you get on the aircraft, you will have to comply with those amendments in the regulation check. So it's all encompassing. You have to comply with all South African legislation as well as those ones. Then section clause 52 will amend section 140.
Jefferson, before we step off, Jefferson, my hand was up.
No, it was not up. Request me nicely. Don't patronize me. What do you want to say, Honorable McDonald?
Jefferson, I just want to refer back to that. Jefferson, honestly, my hand was up, and then I put it down again, and then I put my hand up again. But thank you very much, Jefferson, for indulging me. Apologies, Jefferson. That subsection 3 is a conviction liable to imprisonment for a minimum period of 20 years without the option of a fine. Does that include for not abiding to an instruction from an EOS test that you would go to jail for 20 years without the option of a fine, Jefferson? I just want to get clarity on that, Jefferson. Our apologies to you.
Thank you very much. If you disobey, you're going to jail. But let's hear. Advocate Mazombuga.
Thanks, Jefferson. The answer you get is under 4 there, which says any person who commits any offense in subsection 2, therefore you must read subsection 2 offenses. And 3 is on conviction liable to an imprisonment for a minimum period of 20 years without an option of a fine. So those that are mentioned in subsection 2 and 3, this will be the fine that you'll be liable to. Thanks.
McD, are you clarified?
Jefferson, I'm not 100%. I don't see the part. Can I just get, I think it helps. Just go to the point there. Okay, Jefferson, I'm clarified with that subsection. Thank you. Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you.
Is your hand lowered now, McD? Thank you. Thank you very much. Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. clause 52, amend section 140. 140 deals with the prohibition and control in restricted areas. So there will be an addition here under sub A, an authorized person, officer or inspector. It just used to be an authorized person. And then subsection 2 will be an authorized person, authorized officer or inspector. So those words are added. And then Chair, in subsection 3, it's the same as 2. We're adding here authorized officer or inspector. And then we're changing airport reference to aerodrome. Chair, then up to there we have the amendment to 140, section 140. 140 is quite large, Chair. But that is the main amendments there, is adding officer or inspector and the change from airport to aerodrome check.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Let me see opinions from the side of the members.
Supported, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mbase. Any second?
Second, Chair.
And thank you, Honorable Fitzmay, also. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Unfortunately, our time has come to the point where we have to end at clause 52. We have given it our best shot. I hope everybody will see that. We will continue with the issues of civil aviation on Friday, not tomorrow. At this point in time, I wish to give members 3-4 minutes to stretch their legs while Advocate Almanel is preparing her documents for ERT bill that we will be deliberating on shortly. Leave us. You want to leave us?
Yes, with your permission, Honorable.
Good night. Good night, leave
us. Good night. No, I have not requested Honorable Mangu to say it, but it is appropriate that we should say good night, my brother, to have your rest. We know you are a busy man. We shall see you when you see us, maybe on Friday.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chair, we're starting from Schedule 1. We've done clauses 70 and 71. We finished that in the previous meeting, so what we are left with is Schedule 1 and Schedule 2.
Now, there is a hand from my learned friend, Rakisha Haricharan.
Thank you, Chair. This is Dr. Harikishan from State Law Advisory Office. Chair, if I may please just place the attention of the committee with regards to Schedule 1. There seems to have been a printing error with the printing of the schedule. In terms of Schedule 1, there should have been underlining of certain words included. But that underlining please needs to be included now. And we will include such underlining in the A list. But for the purpose of the discussion today, Chair, I'm just bringing to the attention of the committee that there are certain underlining that need to be included in Schedule 1, and we'll include that in our A list. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Ms. Raksha, am I pronouncing it correct?
Perfect, it's perfect pronunciation, Chair.
Are you an advocate?
I'm an attorney, Chair, attorney with Avalon Library Office.
Okay. So normally when we attorney, you prefer us to say attorney Hankere?
No, it's fine, Chair. You can just call me by my first name, Raksha. That's fine, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's watch ahead. Advocate Almanel.
Thank you, Chairperson. Schedule 1, as I'm going to attempt to get members through this, I'm going to refer to the different pieces of legislation that will have consequential amendments because of the ERT bill. So, Chair, I'm going to, for example, where we are here in Schedule 1, dealing with the amendments of the National Ports Act, members will see me going from the bill here to the Ports Act just to try and highlight those amendments to members. The National Ports Act will have quite a few because this is where our ports regulator, as the first entity that's going to be taken into staff, there will be quite a few amendments to the bill that ERT has envisioned. So, Chair, the first one we're going to deal with is an amendment to the definition of regulator in the National Ports Act. So, Chair, the Ports Act had the regulator as the port regulator established by Section 29. And I'm just going to put that caveat to members. I do hope that I have the correct updated and amendment bills because we've worked with at least three of the bills, so I'm going to be cross-referencing today. So, Chair, the new regulator definition will be the regulator means the transport economic regulator established by Section 29 of the Economic Regulation Transport Act, which is this bill that we are working with. And then, Chair, the National Ports Act is hereby amended by repeal of Sections 29 to 45. And the National Ports Act is hereby amended by the substitution of Section 46 of the following subsection. Chair, I'm just going to take members to Sections 29 to 45, or at least just the heading here quickly. So members will see here 29 to 45 are all these sections in the Ports Act that deals with the ports regulator. And then we get a new 46, which will deal with appeals. I'm just going to get to 46. Then, Chair, this is the old appeal section that we are proposing in the ERT poll. So that section will now be appeals. Any port user or licensed operator whose rights are adversely affected by a decision of the authority may appeal against that decision to the regulator in the manner directed under Section 30, Subsection 3, or prescribed in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2020. And then, Chair, there is a further... Chair, I'm just going to let the... State Law Advisor and Parliamentary Legal Advisor come in here where they indicate that we need some underlinings added, Chair, if that is fine with Chair, before I go to the amendments of Section 457.
Advocate. Am I seeing correctly that Ms. Richardson, my attorney's hand is up, am I correct?
Yes, that's correct, Chair. That's correct, yes. Chair, thank you. Chair, if you can go to the committee's attention on page 36. that this applicable at Schedule 1 at in line 18 of Schedule 1. The words that should be underlined start from the comma or prescribed in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, comma 2020. All of that should be underlined and that will be included in the A-list. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Advocate.
Chair, then going to section 47 of the National Ports Act. So members will see here there is an amendment to subsections 1 and 2. 47 was a complaint against the authority. So the new section 47 sub 1, any complaint against the authority must be lodged with the regulator in the manner directed under section 30 sub 3 or prescribed in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act. And then we have a subsection 2 amendment. A complaint against the authority may be based on any ground provided for by the regulator by direction under section 30 sub 3 or prescribed in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, or on the grounds that, and then the grounds will follow as it is A, B, and C, remains there. Then, Chair, there is a repeal of sections 48 to 45 proposed. That would be the investigation of complaints, hearings before the regulator, just want to make it up to 55, the right to participate in hearings, taking of evidence at hearing, rules of procedure, interim relief, orders of regulator, and the winding up and the solution of regulator, because the ERT bill does make provision for those already, so we don't need them to remain in the National Ports Act. Then, Chair, a amendment here to section 56, subsection 2. 56 is on agreement in port operations and services. So there's an amendment here to sub 2. That proposed amendment, an agreement concluded in terms of the section must A, provide for the authority to monitor and annually review performance with regard to the operation of the terminal facility and the provision of the relevant services in terms of a performance that specified in the agreement, and B, be lodged with the regulator within 20 business days from the date of last signature to the agreement. And Chair, there's a proposed insertion of 2A. The performance reviews contemplated in subsection 2, small a, must be lodged with the regulator within 20 business days of issue thereof. And then, Chair, there's a further addition proposed to section 56 of subsection 6 and 7. 6, the regulator may prescribe the requirements that are necessary to achieve the purposes set out in subsection 5. And 7, if an agreement contemplated in subsection 1 or 4 includes as a party an entity that is a subsidiary or division of an entity under whose ownership, management, or control the authority falls, the agreement must be approved by the regulator, or the regulator may require any variance to the agreement, depending on what the regulator considers necessary to meet the requirements of subsection 5, as well as a new 8. If the circumstances contemplated in subsection 7 apply, the fees payable to the authority in terms of section 731C accrue to the regulator. Chair, then there's an amendment proposed to section 57 to add 6 capital A and 6 capital B. 57 deals with the license regarding port services and facilities. So here we'll have a new 7 capital A, a 6A. Right there before 7. So Chair 6A, if a license contemplated in subsection 2 is issued to an entity that is a subsidiary or a division of an entity under whose ownership, management or control the authority falls, the license must be approved by the regulator or regulator may require any variance to the license, depending on what the regulator considers necessary. Chair then B, if the circumstances contemplated in sub 6A apply, the fees payable to the authority accrue to the regulator. Chair, then a proposed change to section 62. Section 62 is the duties of licensed operators. Chair, there is an addition of subsection 6. Every licensed operator, when submitting a report or other information to the authority in terms of subsection 2, 3, or 5A or F, must submit a copy of that report or information at the same time to the regulator. Then, an amendment to section 72. Section 72 deals with the authority's tariff book. So Chair, the authority must prepare a proposed price control for approval by the regulator in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act. So the sub-C will also be removed as well as the information there within the brackets. Chair, then the proposed amendment to section 79, sub-2. Section 79 deals with the ministerial direction. Section 79 sub 2 is now proposed to be the minister must consult with the authority, the transport economic regulator established by section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport, and the shareholding minister prior to giving a direction under subsection 1. Then there's an amendment proposed to section 80. And this is the last amendment to the National Ports Act that deals, Section 8 deals with the port regulations. So 80 is then proposed to be the minister may in consultation with the regulator by notice in the Gazette make regulations in respect of A, the licensing of activities carried out in the ports and at offshore cargo handling facilities, and B, the establishment, construct, maintenance and operation of offshore cargo handling facilities. There's a new one, capital A. The minister may, by notice in the Gazette, make regulations in respect of any other matter which it is necessary or expedient to prescribe for the proper implementation or administration of this Act. And Chair, there's a deletion proposed from subsection 2 of paragraphs E and P. Just to show members, E was the license of activities carried, licensing of activities carried out in the ports and at offshore cargo, because it's already now there in the bill. And P is the establishment, construction, maintenance and operation of offshore cargo handling facilities. So Chair, those are the proposed amendments to the National Ports Act in Schedule 1. I think we can just get members' input there before I move on to the Airports Company Act Amendments, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate. I can see the hand of Attorney Ari Chairman is up again. Am I correct, ma'am?
Yes, thank you, Chair. That's correct. Chair, I just have one comment regarding the proposed amendments to Section 72 of the National Ports Act, just to indicate where the word should be underlined for the underlining to be included on page 37 in line 30, from line 30 to 31. The words prepare a proposed price control for approval by the regulator in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020, or should be underlined, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mayor Chairman. as you know where you went.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let me hear from members. Mkhayes. Honorable Sinkula. Oh, not only medics. Yahoo. Afterwards, I'm showing you my pen.
Sorry about that, Sir President. Yes, look, I think I have no serious qualms with what has been suggested, so I think all is good.
Thank you very much. Honorable member Baba Ujambaso Ulisa Wagwamak.
Chair, thank you. I see those young guys. I thought they were awake, but looks like they're still asleep. Guys, wake up, please. We are at work. Honorable Sinsolo. Chair, I support the acceptance of the consequential amendment to the National Port Regulator. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. We will get a number of them to come to the party. Thank you very much.
Maybe Mr. Sinsolo went to renew, so you must always make that provision.
I am happily making that provision. Honorable Mapena, do communicate to him once he's out. Advocate, can we vote ahead?
Thank you, Chairperson. Our next amendments look at amendments to the Airport Company Act. So, Chair, the first one is a proposed substitution of the definition of committee. Just to show members, committee means regulating committee established by Section 11. So that will now change to committee means the Transport Economic Regulator established by Section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2020. Chair, then there is a proposed amendment to Section 5. Chair, Section 5 deals with the functions of the company, company being AXA. Chair, these highlighted bits in my copy of this bill was some previous amendments that we did in the AXA amendments bill that was before the previous committee. So we'll see if any of these ones correlate with those. The proposed amendment in Section 5 here is to delete in subsection 2 paragraphs E and F. So in subsection 2, the bill seeks to delete these two, or at least E as it was then and then F as it was changed in the AXA amendment bill that amendment act that was finalized also just last year, Chair. Then there is an amendment proposed to Section 12, Subsection 1. So, Chair, that used to be Economic Regulation of the Company, Subsection 1. The proposed amendment is to be: the company shall not levy any airport charge at any company airport except in accordance with a price control approved and published in terms of the Economic Regulation of the Transport Act 2020. Chair, then the proposed amendment to Section 13, subsections 1 and 2. So there's Section 13 for members, sale or closure of aerodrome or curtailment of relevant activity. So the amendments if the company has indicated in a business plan contemplated in Section 7 that it intends to close or sell any aerodrome mentioned in Section 6.1a, or to terminate or substantially curtail a relevant activity which was carried on by the department or any person on behalf of the department immediately prior to the transfer date at such aerodrome, the company shall at the same time as it submits such business plan to the shareholding minister in terms of Section 7, submit a copy thereof to the minister. Then subsection 2, the minister shall consider the consider and evaluate the implications of the intended action of the company mentioned in subsection 1. And then chair here, just going to go to B, because it links up here with the minister, may request advice from the transport economic regulator in terms of the act regarding any action that the minister may take in terms of subsection 3 or 4. Then there's a proposed amendment to section 14, subsection 1, or just before subsection 1. So to show members section 14, failure of company to comply with provisions. Okay, the previous OXA amendments will propose amendments to section 1 as well. So this is now any person who feels aggrieved by the failure of the company to comply with any provision of section 5.2 or 12.1 may file a complaint with the Transport Economic Regulator in terms of section 16 of the Economic Regulations of Transport Act. And then there is a further amendment proposed in the Act to delete sections 5.2E and F. I just want to get section 5. We're going back. G52E and F. That's those two that we've indicated earlier. Deleting 11. Is the regulating committee. Deletion of 12.2. This clause under economic regulation. And 12.12. This clause, the company shall at all times comply with conditions mentioned in subsection 7. And then also deletion of 14.2.2.4. So that would be the deletion of 14.2.2.4. So those are the proposed amendments to the Airports Company Act. I would just request if the department or the state law advisors can just indicate whether or not these proposed amendments were on the Airport Company Act prior to the latest amendments bill having been promulgated, Chair. And then for members to consider the other proposals as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Mayor Richard, you want to say something?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to mention that the proposed constitutional amendment on page 38 of the bill, from line 9 to 11, the words that have to be underlined include except in accordance with the price control approved and published in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2015. need all of that to please be underlined. And another underline that to please be included is one from line 28 to 31. The words may request, sorry Chair, the words may request advice from the Transport Economic Regulator in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020, regarding any action that the Minister may take in terms of subsection 3 or 4. All those words to please be underlined, Chair. Thank you. And secondly, in reply to Advocate Nell's request regarding the amendment made to the Airport Company Act, if you may please reflect on that, Chair, and revert to the committee on that point. Let me please come back to the committee on that point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mary Karina. Natemio Kesi Sikundo, do you want to say something there?
Morning, Honorable Chair. I am definitely covered. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Advocate Almanel, you also want me to test if your members are happy.
Absolutely, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I can see, let's say, 10 members. Dateyabo, are you happy, sir?
I'm very happy, sir.
You're very happy. Yeah. I can see you, that you are happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other member happiness, honorable members? Thank you, honorable Mapena. Any issue going once, twice? Advocate Almanel, can we please forget it?
Thank you, Chairperson. Then our next proposed amendments are to the Air Traffic and Navigation Services Company Act, the ATNS Act. Again, we will just have to get clarity on whether or not these proposed amendments took into consideration the ATNS Amendment Act that was processed 2019-2020. Chair, so again, we have the proposed substitution of the definition of committee. So the committee was the committee as defined in Section 1 of the ACSA Act, the Airports Company Act. And since we've already amended it at the top, we have to do it here as well. And that would now mean the Transport Economic Regulator established by Section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act. Chair, then we have a proposed amendment to Section 11, Subsection 1. That was the economic regulation of the company. So, Chair, the proposed change is now that the company shall not levy an air traffic service charge except in accordance with a price control approved and published in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2020. Then, Chair, an amendment to Section 12, subsections 1 and 2. So 12 was the sale or closure of air navigation infrastructure. So, Chair, the new proposed Subsection 1, if the company has indicated in the business plan contemplated in Section 7 that it intends to close or sell any air navigation infrastructure mentioned in Section 6.1a or to terminate or substantially curtail an air traffic service or air navigation service which was rendered by the state or any person on behalf of the state, immediately prior to the transfer date, the company shall at the same time as such business plan to the shareholding minister in terms of Section 7, submit a copy thereof to the minister. Subsection 2, the minister shall consider and evaluate the implications of the intended action of the company mentioned in subsection 1. Chair, I'm just going to go here to 2, and then again, the minister may request advice from the Transport Economic Regulator in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act regarding any action that the minister may take in terms of subsection 3 or 4. Chair, then a proposed amendment to section 13. That was the failure of company to comply with provisions. So Chair, the subsection 1 will now read, any person who feels aggrieved by the failure of the company to comply with any provision of section 5.2 or 11.1 may file a complaint with the Transport Economic Regulator in terms of section 16 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act. And then, Chair, this is just, again, reference. There is deletion going to be of 5, 2, E, and F. So just to show members here. 5, 2, E, and F are these two provisions. And then a deletion of 11, 2 to 12. Well, the Chair, that'll be from number 2 at the top there, 12. And of section 13, 2 to 4, that will be those provisions, Chair. Then, Chair, that is the proposed amendments to the ATNS Act, Chairperson.
Thank you, Advocate. Those are the proposals. Let me hear happiness from my honorable members. That is Chris Tunsing.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just followed a different line. The reference to the sections 3 and 4, could you, with your indulgence, Chair, just repeat that portion and particularly the reference of 3 and 4 there?
Yes, I do.
At subsection 3 and 4 in sub B, I think.
Advocate?
I'm going.
I just need to, Chairperson will see is there's a number 3, and that's subsections 1 and 2, so I just want to get where we have, here we have subsection 2, here's dealing with 3 or 4. I just want to be sure if this is what Honourable Mr. Hunsinger is referring to.
Yes, indeed, that one.
Is everything okay?
No, we're still waiting, Chair. We're still waiting.
Okay.
Chair, that will be section 12, 3 and 4. Just want to make sure. Yes, we're looking at section 12's amendment here.
So it's agreed by the minister, the concurrence of the shareholding minister. Thank you, Chair.
Are you happy,
honorable member.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Can I go to Mayor Ndonga or Mama Okuma? Honorable Figile? Okay.
The person I second in the absence of anybody else. Choose.
Thank you very much. Honorable McDonald. Advocate Almanel. That is for.
Chair, I just want to check with the state law advisor if there's any lines here that we need to underline that have not been underlined.
Let me give the opportunity to the state law advisor. May I refer it?
Thank you, Chair. On page 39 of Schedule 1, from line 10 to line 12, the underlining that should be included is from the word may request advice from the Transport Economic Regulator, comma, in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, comma, 2020, comma, regarding any action. Yes, those words to be underlined, please, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Are you happy, Advocate Almanet?
Yes, Chair. It's just so that we are all on the same page when we get to make sure that all the amendments are in. Chair, then we see the amendment to the National Land Transport Act is a very short one-line amendment here. So that's section 21. They are proposing a deletion of subsection 1, paragraph C. 21.1C, overseas fares charged for public transport services throughout the country. Chair, this one is again linked to the National Public Transport Regulator, this one. So that is the only amendment proposed for the NLTA, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Let me visit the state law advisor before I go to members. Anything that you want highlighted?
Chair, with regards to section 4, line 19 on page 39, the words any person who feels aggrieved by the failure, that if you all these words are to be underlined, starting from any person who feels aggrieved by the failure, then you move on to the to be underlined. You read further along the word any to be underlined. And continuing on line 19, the words file a complaint with the Transport Economic Regulator in terms of section 16 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, comma 2020, all of that to please be underlined, Chair. This will be included in the end. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Ubaba Ulisa Wabamansi.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I could ask that with your indulgence that Advocate goes back to that proposed deletion of 1C in the Principal Act. Thank you very much. I wanted to check why the D from the department is not being proposed to be deleted also, because it would appear to me it relates to fees also of fare structure, which I'm assuming would then become the function of the regulator. Thank you, Chairperson.
Bob, Advocate. Masongo. Or that we make it is good.
Yes, thank you so much. I think probably it would be an oversight from this department. I think Honorable and you has raised the critical point for consideration, Chair.
You still owe us on this critical point. You remember your undertaking that they made it.
Correct, Chair. We still have that in our mind, and yeah. If you ask us to respond to their to those, we are ready to do so. Okay. But yeah, we have prepared some response for you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So you agree that we can delete that one too? That
Sorry, Chair, I may have lost the latter part of your comment. I heard that you were saying we agree.
D can also be deleted.
Can I request that we reflect on it? But I think with the first observation now, it looks like it moved to that direction. But I would want to check it, Chair, because there's, in the latter part of the sentence, there's this, in terms of Section 8, it may have some certain implications there, Chair. Can I check it and then come back on?
Thank you very much. We're happy with that. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, can we move, honorable members? Honorable McBee?
Chairperson, we can move. I'm happy with that. Thank you, Chair. As well.
Thank you very much. Mayor Harish, are we Chairman?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Just regarding that subsection 5, we just echo the sentiment of the Department, Mr. Chair, to reflect on that question from the Honourable Member and to the Budget Committee on that. We would we appreciate that opportunity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Onsinaru.
Thank you, Chair. It might be worthwhile to look at Section 8, Chairperson. Indeed, it has implications on a wider spectrum. We even might sort it out by looking at Section 8 now. But it's your prerogative and decision, Chair.
Let's allow them an opportunity to reflect, honorable member. Section 8 is definitely part of their reflection. You wanted to contribute something on Section 8?
Chairperson, it definitely reflects on the min-mix structure and the wider implications as well. So I would cautiously advise that section be removed because it has wider implications. As you can see, it's a whole scope of aspects that are involved. So I would let's allow the department to get back and we can move on. Thank you.
Happy Advocate Almane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then our next one that we will be looking at are the amendments to the SANRAL and National Roads Act. So, Chair, the first proposed amendment is to Section 27, Subsection 3A. 27 deals with the levying of tolls by the agency. And 3A 3A is the amount of toll that may be levied under subsection 1, any rebate thereon, and any increase or reduction thereof is determined by the minister on the recommendation of the agency. So the amendment here is that it would be is determined by the transport economic regulator in terms of part A of chapter 3 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act on the recommendation of the agency. Chair, then there's a proposed deletion in subsection 3 of paragraph C and D. So that will be these two, Chair, the notices in the Gazette, and then a deletion of subsection 4, which is the approval for the declaration of a toll road. If they are proposing the deletion of the entire 4, that will be 4ABC, let me just double check here. Yes, the entire subsection 4, so it's ABC as well as D being proposed for deletion. Okay, and that will also include that bit there. Chair, then our next proposed amendment is to section 28 by adding a subsection 5. 28 here deals with the operation of toll roads and levying of toll by authorized persons. There is no 5, so we are proposing the addition of 5. The Transport Economic Regulator, established by section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2020, may require an agreement contemplated in subsection 1 to make provision for periodic review by the Transport Economic Regulator of the level of tolls charged in terms of the agreement. Chair, that is the proposed amendments to the South African National Road Agency Limited and National Roads Act for members to consider, and then for the State Road Advisor just to indicate where if there are any underlinings that were missed here as well, Chair.
Ms. Harjaran.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, thank you, Chairperson. 9.53 was to be underlined to Transport Economic Regulator in terms of Part A of Chapter 3 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020, that's been all of that to be please be underlined. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Obaba Ulisa Wakwa Mandu.
Mangat. With your indulgence, advocate would just deem that proposed amendment, please. Section 27, I think, so that I can talk directly to it. Thank you very much. The proposal is the removal of the determination by the minister. Now, it is my understanding, subject to correction by our legal minds who are here, that it is the purview of the minister to make regulations. It would appear to me that we are now saying that function goes to the regulator and not the minister. That, I think, is the one that has got implication on the whole deletion that goes there after that Advocate Nell was highlighting. So before even going there, my clarity is it not the responsibility and powers of the minister to issue regulation on issues such as the tolls and whatever case it might be? Thank you, Chairperson. That is my clarity-seeking question, which obviously, depending on the response, has got implications on everything else in that particular proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jambazi. Honorable Nsunga.
Thank you, Jay. I've got a different view, but I absolutely support Honorable Mandu's concern. I would be interested in a department's response to that. Although I think we are moving to a regime where all of those determinations with regards to economic transport is then at arm's length and quasi-independent in this new structure. So I think it's part of the reform process, but it would be interesting to get the department's response on this, what the thinking was behind this. But other than that, I'm happy with this section. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nsunga.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I had thought you wouldn't ask me to respond, Chair, because Honorable Hamsinga has actually responded to the question raised by Honorable Mangu to say that we're moving towards an independent oversight of economic regulation, which is now consolidated under the Transport Economic Regulator, Chair. That's exactly the principle in which we are trying to implement here, Chair. But I think there's one point that is important that is raised by Honorable Mango, that with regards to regulation, we might probably want to look at the wording, but the principle and the idea is to move all functions of economic regulation located in various entities to the economic regulator and ensure that oversight is provided from an independent point of view, Chair. So I think I'll also be guided as to how best to phrase it from the regulation point of view, Chair. I know I may be partly giving you an answer, but partly not answering, Chair. So that's where I'm coming from. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, no. I hear what you're saying. The amount of toll that may be levied under subsection 1, any rebate thereon and any increase or reduction thereof is determined by the minister on the recommendation of the agents. That is Mayor Almanel putting it. Determined by the minister. Transport Economic Regulator in terms of Part A of Chapter 3 of the Economic Regulations of Transport Act 2020 on the recommendation of the agents. And that Murphy's.
Chair?
I'm coming back to you here.
Yes, you may
now. What needs to be cleaned up. I think Honorable Mangu's view is that the regulator will not regulate him or herself. The minister will still be needed to play an oversight role. I think that's what he's raising. I hear it properly. Let me hear Honorable Nsunga.
Indeed, there's a bit of a loop that I also now suspect. If the entity, the future economic transport regulator entity, if that resorts under the minister, and you know we've now consolidated everything under one act with a regulator etc. in place, To what extent is it independent, and what role does the minister then overarchingly have in terms of interfering, or in a good or a bad way, in what is intended to be an independent consolidated regulator? The other point that I wanted to just note with you, Chairperson, is the underlining, which in a way has not been accurate. Underlining particular sections of a bill under development or an amendment has particular status, and it's read in a particular way, and it's understood in a particular way. And I'm referring to the fact that this was published and it was asked for public participation. Now, afterwards, we are suggesting and asking for sections to be underlined that should have been underlined, which in a way was a bit unfair to the public participation process. And I'm just noting this, and I'm basically just recording this and putting it on the record as such. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mani.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the debate sparked by my question is important. But I think if I was specific to, I still wanted to enter into the further debate. But my question is simple. Who has the authority to issue regulation? Or is it an entity of the state? Who has authority legally? Now we can thereafter discuss the arm's length and so forth, which I totally agree with my fellow colleague, Honorable Hunsinger. Hence our agreement earlier on the appointment of the board and so forth. That is what we are trying to address. Who has the legal authority to issue regulation, regardless of whose advice? That for me is my request to have it more simplified, and then we can engage in a further discussion. Thank you, Chair.
May I return?
Thank you, Chair. If I may please respond to the Honourable Member Hunsinger's comment regarding the underlinings that should have been included in the schedule. Chair, we do apologize, but there seems to have been a printing error with the printing of the proofs of the bill. That underlining should have been included in the bill. However, we shall include it in the A list, and it was just due to a printing error that occurred. But those underlining shall be included in the A list, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Admitted.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not having authority to respond to the question of who has the authority to issue regulation. But with the work that we've done so far of this bill, we've seemingly given those powers to the minister. But I think the legal expert will answer correctly as to who has the authority for drafting regulations. And I know for a fact that industry experts and entities may recommend certain changes through regulations. But I wouldn't want to dwell much on that one. I think it will be answered by the legal expert. I just want to share one more point for consideration by the Chair in discussing this matter, because I'm reflecting on the earlier question that the principle is to move towards arm's length. And if you look at the sections or the content of the sections we're discussing on, it's price control or price determination. The general principle of the bill on price determination is that the
the nitty-gritty of how price control for a specific sector will be undertaken, will be embedded either in the course of good practice or in the regulations themselves. What I'm simply trying to say is, my argument would be, there is some elements of considering to basically include that section, Chair, and make sure that we amend it the way it has been proposed from the Minister to the Transport Economic Regulator. But we then have to be consistent in terms of, one, who the authority to draft regulation, and secondly, who has the, what is the process to be followed in drafting regulations. If indeed this area of work would have to follow the same current process of being gazetted through regulations and all that stuff, we then have to flag it as such in the bill, Chair. And remember, again, we have a section in the bill itself that talks to the process to be undertaken when regulations are drafted, issued, and so forth. This could be one point of area that we could also lump it under this section, Chair. But the bigger issue that I'm raising here, Chair, which is the first price, is indeed amend as suggested here, Chair, and then make sure that we are consistent in terms of who the authority, which is what we have been preaching to say the Minister would draft regulations. Obviously, the Portfolio Committee has been requesting that we make sure that there is a role played by the Portfolio Committee in drafting those regulations. But we also have to be consistent in terms of the process in which we follow in drafting those regulations and publicizing those regulations. So my answer somehow is twofold. Move towards changing the authority of the Minister being the oversight layer with regard to price control, but all at the same time make sure that we are consistent in terms of the authority of issuing regulations and the process in which we are undertaking are consistent. Thank you.
Advocate Almanel.
Okay, it really is a twofold gazetted publication system created in this bill, Chair, just in terms of Section 4 that we have in the bill. If we look at Section 4 speaks to the general regulations and it indicates which regulations are to be made by the Minister. And the Minister grants the exemptions. Again here, determinations are done by the Minister. So we have these aspects that are done by the Minister. But the clause in the bill that is linked to this one that we were working on now, linked to the tolls, is Chapter 3A on price regulation. And when it comes to price regulation in terms of the bill, it falls on the regulator, not the Minister, to deal with the price regulations. So then obviously that amendment will be the regulator, and the regulator will sit with the agency, which is SANRAL, to look at their proposed tolls in terms of the price control aspect of it. So Chair, it's really more linked to this one here, sub 12, that deals with those amendments and price control aspects, when we link it now back to the amendments to the SANRAL Act. I just want to quickly go to that Schedule 1. You will see here this proposed amendment links it back there to the Part A, Chapter 3. And in terms of this one, it is the regulator, it's not the Minister that deals with these issues as it is in the bill now. So the drafters we'll just have to sit and make sure that this amendment also links up with the changes that the committee has proposed for that Part A, Chapter 3. That's all that I wanted to point out for this discussion here, Chair, before we get the final input and move to Schedule 2.
Okay, Honorable Mzinga.
Chairperson, thank you. I think there's a lot more cloud that needs to be cleaned up than what we realize. In the sections that we just did, there are three references of levels of consultation that is allowed, but the status of consultation and the outcome and the decision-making authority in terms of firm direction following the consultation is not clear, and it's not spelled out. So firstly, there is a level of consultation that can or may or should happen between the minister and the regulator, but then there's also the other level of consultation between the regulator and the particular entity, in this case Sunroc. Consultation is not given any supportive outcome as such that consultation must happen or that consultation may happen, and that if there's a deadlock, who then has the final authority? Because similar to the biggest contract that had the biggest flaw, namely Brexit, where there was no exit clause, you know, it's good to design a contract for a happy marriage, but what happens if the happiness ends? And that is what we should look at. So therefore, Chairperson, I would propose that the department looks at this in terms of alignment of current functioning, because certainly it should not be more complicated, it should be less complicated, because there's a whole value chain attached to each of these price control decisions. So therefore it shouldn't take longer. I'm excited about this piece of legislation because it could also address a lot of red tape which we currently have. So yes, a lot more should be done in terms of aligning it, but then we should also focus on describing what we mean with consultation, but what we also mean with may, because it may happen or it may not happen, and I'm not referring to my colleague's surname. A real action must be spelled out in terms of process, procedure, and so that the system at the end of the day benefits the function and role and not the other way around. Thank you, Chair.
Mayor Archila and Honorable Mamu will be the last.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding the Honorable Member's queries raised regarding these items of the schedule, that we may also be afforded the opportunity to come back to the committee on these matters. And we have flagged this Chair, and we will report to the committee on this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mandu.
My Chair, I'm close to calling you advocate now, but not yet there. Chair, if we could answer my question, I think many things that we are raising will begin either to be resolved or we will complicate them further. My question is, who has the legal authority to issue regulations? If that question is asked, all things of dual purpose that Advocate Nell highlighted now will then come to the fore. The issue that my colleague Honorable Hunsinger is raising will also certainly come to the fore. Then we'll have to apply our minds. But I don't want us to apply our minds
against the grain of either the legal principles or the constitution, whoever is responsible for that. Hence my question, and I said I've got further comments, but I needed to get that clarity as to who has the legal authority to issue regulation. Advocate, Honorable Chair, I rest my case.
Honorable Mandu, I can see you have gone through this thoroughly. Advocate Almanel.
I believe as the department has indicated, the regulations, the principal authority is with the minister. There are instances where it will differ, as we've indicated, as the department has indicated previously in the bill, when it comes to considering the price regulations and changes thereto. But even I think it might assist if the department gets back to members exactly on how they propose this to be done in the Act. As I've indicated, there's two different areas in this very bill that allows the minister to regulate as general, and then it allows the regulator to issue notices and regulations in the Gazette. Now, bringing in the toll issues, just to take members here, the tolls would have always been, there would have been a proposal by SANRAL, like they would recommend it to the minister. And the minister would be the one then that issues the notice. You see, this again is the exemptions and amendments was given, will become effective only 14 days after notice to that effect by the agency. So if I just go up to the top, this is determination of a toll is done by the minister, and amendments thereto is also done by the minister. So it should follow that this be done by the minister. But Chair, I think the department, especially for how they envision how the Starbill will work, they might just need to clarify whether all of the proposed publications in the Gazette are regarded as regulations for the stricter sense of the application, not specific to fares and fees. That they will have to clarify that. Again, we have the other addition when it comes to finance bills, where they also need the inclusion of the Minister of Finance, which is another layer as well to achieve. So I think affording the department some time just to revert and clarify the issue to members fully might be the best solution. Check.
Advocate. My clarity-seeking question actually was not going to go to that direction. I was just trying to refresh my mind. What is the purpose of this deliberation?
See, for this, we need to get members' input on the proposed amendments. We will still have a clause by clause later on. So these deliberations will allow any further clarity that the members may need, that the department and the state law advisor and the parliamentary legal advisor can supply to members, so that we can draft a proposed A-list. Then when we have these issues and all of these aspects addressed, if it's not in the current bill, the A-list will seek to supplement the bill. And that is where we then get the final look at the bill under the A-list and clause by clause consideration. So these deliberations do allow the members in the committee time to get further input and clarity from the department to be sure what has to go into the A list or if the bill as it is suitable for members.
I'm saying when members want to make an input or suggestion, they are allowed. Advocate.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. I thought I just wanted to get that point clearly clarified, and I want to believe that at this moment in time, we are all happy to say the department should go back and just make some cleanups in terms of the direction they are proposing here in terms of powers. Just clean this document up so that we are clear where we are going without really usurping anybody's power where it is not necessary, but also create a conducive environment for the agents and the regulator. I think that is clear, unless I need to clarify myself. Are we getting it clear, officials of the department?
Crystal clear, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, are we happy with that?
Content, not happy, Chair.
Well, Chambers.
your summary is okay, Chair. Let's leave it there. Thank you, Chair.
Well, Advocate, can we forge ahead?
Yes, Chairperson, our next section that we are with at the bill will be scheduled 2, which is the transitional provision. So Chair, the first one under the definitions, I reference in the schedule.
It should not be taken that these are people from the Free State.
Okay, Chair, then I'll continue. A reference in the schedule to the ports regulator is a reference to the entity established under that name in terms of Chapter 5 of the National Ports Act. A section by number is a reference to the corresponding section of this act. And an item or a sub-item by number is a reference to the corresponding item or sub-item of this schedule. So, Chair, that is, in terms of the definitions, a transitional provision. Just want to check if members are okay to continue to the next one, Chair.
Chair, through you, yes, we can continue.
Okay, Chair, then I'll continue to the next item under Schedule 2 is the continuation of tariffs enforced at effective date. So Chair, 2-1, despite Section 11.
Advocate, please, apology. Chair, can you indulge me half a second, please? Chair? My chairperson. Your madam.
Hey. Yes, you mean you disappeared.
I told her when I'm on, you're not chairperson. hey, what do I do now? Do I ask what I want to ask without the permission? Maybe I'll come back, advocate. Let me not
said powers of the chair. Sorry for that.
That is wise, Colin. That is wise.
Thank you, members. Then to carry on with the continuation of tariffs, despite Section 11, a tariff or similar method of price regulation in effect immediately before the effective date in terms of any law in respect of a transport facility or service remains in effect as if it has been a price control determination as published in terms of Section 11 until the date on which the regulator first determines and publishes a new price control applicable to that facility or service subject to sub-items 2 and B, an agreement of the type contemplated in Section 11.9C that was in effect immediately before the effective date remains in effect as if it had been approved in terms of this Act until the date on which the regulator first determines and publishes a new price control applicable to the relevant facility or service. 2.2, a pre-existing tariff or similar method of price regulation that remains in effect in terms of subsection sub-item 1 may be reviewed in the manner provided for in Section 11. And 3, despite sub-items 1 and 2, a tariff or similar method of price regulation and review mechanisms in effect immediately before the effective date in terms of A, an agreement contemplated in Section 1 of the South African National Roads Agency Limited National Roads Act, or be an agreement or a license contemplated in Sections 56 and 57 respectively of the National Ports Act that was concluded before the effective date remain in effect for the remaining period of that agreement or license as the case may be. So Chair, that is the first two sub-items, items under Schedule 2 for members' input.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Baba Umami.
Chair, thank you very much. I'd interrupted rudely in your absence and I apologize to Advocate when she was presenting because I realized that I wanted to raise something earlier that I didn't raise because of the previous question. But the question is the following. And the reason I thought about it, I think it's got an implication on the tariffs we are discussing now. And the question is, Chair, I did not see any amendment proposed or consequential amendment to the cross-border road traffic amendment act, or rather act, not amendment act. I heard about the NLTA. I don't know if I missed it or is it covered somewhere. Thank you very much, Chair. That was my earlier question. Then if I'm answered, it will determine whether I've got an input on the tariffs as presented here by the advocate. Thank you, Chair.
And now, apology well accepted, Honorable Mami. Advocate?
Chair, I think the department can best answer here. I would believe that those amendments to the CBRTA Act might come in later once or just prior to the phase approach.
That is Zikudo.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the question. If you put scrutiny to the bill in totality, it mainly focuses on phase one, which was presented in the different sessions on the spaces that we have in terms of the consolidation of economic regulators into one. And the phase one in the main, in terms of institutions, is to consolidate or start the economic transport economic regulator by using the port regulator as a nucleus The second part of the stage one basically is to incorporate the regulating committee chair. And from the economic regulation perspective, primarily the bill focuses on tariff determination. So those were the principles which guided the bill that we have in front of you, Chair, today. Indeed, what Advocate Mel has indicated to say, some of the incorporation and phasing in of other regulators will be done at a later stage, Chair. Yeah, that's my response. I'll end there. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mang.
Chair, I hear that the response is not satisfactory. One of the examples that were made by Ndadesi Kudu and the team for many times was always a CBRTA as an example and so forth. But be it as it may, therefore, how does the NLTA come in? Because the NLTA, in my view, is much closer to the CBRTA. The port regulator, I think, is very clear. It was mentioned that because there is already a regulator, no qualms about it. But I still don't understand the rationale of not picking up the amendment that would be effective, or rather, what's the right English now? The amendment in terms of the implication of this regulator legislation to the CBRTA Act. I don't buy that here, but so many other pieces of legislation here, and none of them, as far as I know, for instance, SANRAL doesn't have a regulator current fees or tariffs like the post regulator, and yet when we deal with CBRTA, I believe that there are tariffs also stroke fees that are affected. So, without laboring on the issue, I suspect it was an oversight on the department, or else I'm totally missing the whole intention of what we are doing now. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mangu. Nothing against.
Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I would want to honestly and fairly indicate that it was never an oversight from the department to exclude certain areas. It is a well thought through process with the anticipation that on effective date we would want to focus on certain areas, one of which relates to determination of prices of the areas that we have selected, which include the central part of it, because the focus on that central part of it is the oversight of economic regulation, specifically related to the tariff determination. With respect to the National Transport Act, if you look at the functions of the regulator that we have ignored but focused on, is the one that relates to tariff determination, Chair, because the scope in which we then say that, which I repeat, on effective date, the regulator should reinvent its resources, its experience, its attitude towards making sure that price determination methods are well-functioning, are well-oiled, and functions quite well. We then said, what then would be the supporting institution to build up the end goal of having a single transport economic regulator? It was then, we have resources currently, which is the port regulator that is functioning quite well, and we can build up from it. What would be the other regulator that we would consider? Then we then made a decision to say, in the aviation space, a focused committee or institutional arrangement that focuses on economic regulation of tariff determination is the regulating committee, which functions well to provide oversight for NTNS as well as ASTA chair. And then we then said, what would be the third layer which we could capacitate the institution that we're working on and not instead the whole transport sector system? Then we then said, let's introduce a new economic regulation framework and oversight for the rail sector. That part of economic regulation chair will take much of time, much of resources from the economic regulator that we are set up here. So that's the phase one in which we're focusing this bill on, so that you have this institution functioning quite well before then incorporating other areas. CBRTA is a big institution, we agree, but you don't want to take on that institution at the beginning when the single transport economic regulator institution is still fairly new, it's still trying to understand, to consolidate other areas that have been identified at an earlier phase. But the cross-border road transport agency, including the National Public Transport Regulator, including the licensing council chair, would then be incorporated. Probably the question we should be asking, which I would be asking now, is the way the bill is structured, particularly from the transition mechanism point of view, is it fit enough when it is made effective to allow for other economic regulators to be incorporated at a later stage, instead of having to go through an amendment process when the bill is acted, and because it will take time and all the stuff. I am not in a good position to answer that one, but when we looked at this issue, we were advised and properly advised to say the focus of the bill should be on phase one, and the other areas will be looked at a later stage, Chair. You know, so, but yeah, it is never an oversight from this department. There's the presentation, the slides around the faces, and supported by the bill, the way it is shaped and formed, Chair. Thank you so much.
With that, honorable members, as hot as this debate is getting, please allow me to cool this debate down by requesting you that we shall continue this matter on Friday. According to our commitment earlier on, we said from 12:46 onwards we shall be dealing with minutes. I will definitely afford members an opportunity to finish the work we have not finished. So thank you very much for understanding. Can we then please deal with minutes that we're not able to deal with? The minutes of the 17th of February, the first set of minutes. Can I have a mover or anybody who wants to correct something on the minutes?
Hi, in order, Chair.
Thank you very much, Kaisu. Any seconder?
Seconded.
Thank you very much. But before we start, I want to buy Munda. Any matters arising from the minute?
Chair, just one issue quickly. I just want to know if Mr. Hunsinger or Mr. Mabena is in the meeting for the minutes adoption. Because Mr. Sitola is an alternate member, unfortunately, for decision making.
Yes, we will.
Honorable Mabena has already indicated his support. Thank you very much. I saw your hand. Minutes of the 19th of February. Any mover? Mora Madwa? Do we have Honorable Ramadwa here? Or she's been traveling? Let's get Honorable Figile. Honorable Yabo, Minister of the 19th.
Honorable Chair, excuse my silence. I'm on my way to the parliamentary crisis. I'm getting on the ball, but yes. I second.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising from the Minister of the 19th? Nothing. Can we now deal with the minutes of the 23rd February? McBean?
Apologies, Chair. I lost signal there, but I'm in support. I move.
Thank you very much.
My apologies again. I just wanted to bring you back to the minutes of the 19th. Mr. Yabo seconded it, but I did not catch who actually moved for the adoption.
Okay. Back to the minutes of the 19th.
I will move, Chair.
Thank you. Any second, honorable members, start all over again.
I'll second Chairperson Honorable McDonald.
Thank you very much. And you had already moved for the minutes of the 23rd, am I correct?
You are 100% correct. You are never wrong, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any seconder?
I second the minute, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising, honorable members? Thank you very much. The last set of minutes, that will be the minutes of the 24th February 2021. Any mover?
In final move, Chair, because you are correcting me to move. I'll move.
Thank you very much. Any seconder?
I'm not correct, Chair, but if correcting works, let us continue doing it. I do second.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising? Thank you very much, honorable members. At this stage, I wish to say we should create time, whether on the Zoom, which I think will be proper, to give feedback in terms of the Mulotho corridor and, as we had promised, the people of Gomhla. Otherwise, they will be phoning now and then, requesting when are we coming back and so forth. I think let's put that on the agenda and just spend 2-3 minutes as we meet tomorrow. Otherwise, thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much for your commitment.
I think as you put the Mulotho corridor on the agenda, we see that heroes are being unveiled on Twitter, and I think we have seriously discouraged that behavior by the department. I think Honorable McDonald is on record, Honorable Ketamabala Stole is on record, and I think yourself as well, but you are much more reserved. You wanted to resolve the issue amicably. You indicated that you met with the minister. You've spoken about issues with iron now it's a loose end. However, the behavior is continuous. Like a whole CEO was unveiled on Twitter, and like just a message. There's no, you know, like it just seems to just a feeling. the portfolio committee is feeling the same. And unfortunately for some of the older members who are not on Twitter, you wouldn't have had the privilege of seeing the CEO being unveiled. So Chair, I think perhaps in your follow-up meeting with the minister, maybe you must drink coffee, but don't add sugar on your coffee. Just drink it black. And then maybe that would encourage you to move some of these things in the past. I think I'm just hoping that as we put the 3 minutes from
Lord. Chairperson, this member is out of order. Out of order.
Chairperson, that member is not out of order. Is on the point. You still remember last time I asked the question about this Mloto Road, and then you said you have solved. You never
Honorable members,
I hear what the Honorable Mapela is saying, and I think we need to deal with it. Allow me to deal with that matter. I will raise the matter tomorrow, Honorable Mapela. I can give you my undertaking that we'll deal with that matter amicably. It's quite a matter. Thank you very much. We will then deal with Mloto tomorrow and finalize how to deal with it. Otherwise, with the spirit that always prevails in this August house, allow me to adjourn this meeting and say long live all
the chair.
Thank you very much.
We must meet somewhere together with you.
Which one must live long?
Even you, comrade. Manu must live long because he's the new chairperson. You are the new chairperson.
Long live the chair.